When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Oh, you whippersnappers. Boy, oh boy. This is the week you get to eat your crow, herd. You know why? You were complaining, hey, Kevin, why are some of these films barely making the criteria, if at all? Guess what today is? Today's the day Jackie Cation comes on and says, guess what? The Godfather? Pah! Overrated. That's right. Arguably the greatest film ever made, as now being targeted on this podcast. I never thought this day would come, but here we are. Who is sitting in as co-host? Dave Quist, my pal from the Blockbuster Mentality podcast. As our minds are blown, does Jackie stand a chance in hell? Or is Jackie's argument going to look like Sonny in the toll booths when we're done with her? I don't know. That's why we're going to figure it out.
Gather around, here's what I know. It's just that
mellow greetings. What seems to be your boggle? Guest Dave Quist from the Blockbuster Mentality podcast. What's up, pal? How are you?
Oh, great to be here. Ready to see what Jackie has for what may be the greatest movie ever made.
Name that quote. Mellow greetings. What seems to be your boggle?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, Jackie Cation is tonight's guest. Jackie, do you have any idea what quote that movie is from? Or movie that quote is from? Sorry. I juxtapose.
I would guess some other sort of just wiener fest, like Point Break or something like that. What is it?
Well, listen, Point Break is a fantastic wiener fest, despite there being gratuitous nudity, which thumbs up with Swayze and Keanu. But no, you're both.
Who doesn't want to see it?
Yeah, right. Little Anthony Kiedis getting his foot shut off. Hilarious. Tonight's quote is from the absolute 1993 classic Demolition Man. God damn, I love that film.
Oh, damn. Is that where? No, what was it? Here's, I got a quote for you.
Sure.
Your name is Chance? Yeah, my mama took one.
Would that be Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yes. Oh, my God. You are down with a craptastic film, my friend. Well played. Well played.
I just read a book about all the 80s and 90s and 2000s, really pretty much 80s and 90s action heroes. And I just finished it yesterday on the train back from Camden Yards to go watch the Yankees win on Saturday. And there was a part about Jean-Claude Van Damme in there, which I'm a Van Damme fan from Bloodsport. And I saw Hard Target. It sucked. But they talk about his name, Chance Devereaux. So when you say Chance, I go, there's only one other name I know with that name in there, and that's Hard Target. So I took my shot, and I just drained that shit. Jordan 93. That's what's up.
Nice work.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you very much.
See, this is why I love you, KG, because you like movies like that, and then you shit on 2001. This is why I keep coming back.
You know the difference between Demolition Man and 2001? It had a plot, Demolition Man, and it was fun. That's why. Go ahead, Jackie. Go ahead. You want to say something?
I can't remember who was in Demolition Man. I'm in the part of show business that doesn't care.
Sylvester Stallone, Wesley Snipes with his hair tied blonde. You know, the Dennis Rodman look when he was on the Spurs. Who cares about Demolition Man? Jackie Cation has come on. And I say this a lot. We call them the bulletproof films.
Do you?
I do. There are a lot of films that say there's no way someone can attack that. And one by one, a lot of these have fallen. Star Wars, Back to the Future, The Dark Knight, Jaws.
Okay.
A lot of these films have been attacked. Here's one I thought would never, ever be attacked. And here we are. Jackie Cation has picked 1972's The Godfather.
I can't believe someone picked Jaws.
Yes. You should listen.
They ripped apart Jaws.
No, they didn't. They got ripped apart by us because he's a dumb. I love you, Delvin Cox. The Godfather.
Yeah, I assume that I will be proven wrong. And that I think is fair enough. I mean, everyone should get to fucking like what they like. And the greatest movie ever made, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Nobody wants to hear me say that, right?
Including Kevin Hart.
Well, he's wrong on that part too, because Jack Black was a genius.
I can't figure out what's worse, Jumanji 2 or Kevin Hart's stand-up. They're both equally abhorable.
I've never seen him do stand-up. I'm sure I know that my 14-year-old nephew, it was his favorite comic. Always a bad sign, but yep. That does not mean that people don't get to like him. So live it up, assholes.
Dumbs. Jackie has chosen 1972's The Godfather, a budget at the time of $6 million. Worldwide box office, $245 million. Turn that into 2023 money. $43 million budget, $1.78 billion.
Massive. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just giving the old golden shower to Avatar, I think, right?
I could have picked the first Guardians and then I would have really been doxxed. But let's just go with The Godfather.
I don't think you can get doxxed more. Guardians 1, meh. Godfather, people were up in arms. Let's see, though, how up in arms we will get to that in a minute, though. IMDb, as we all know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. Jackie, what do you think The Godfather has on IMDb?
Patriarchy's given it 9.6. Could have gone 9.6.
9.6. Hey, Dave Quist, what did the Matriarchy give this film?
Matriarchy, yeah, for a little bit of Barbie, right? So we'll knock it down a bit. I'll say, I mean, IMDb is tough. There's nothing that's a 10, I don't think, unless it's some weird foreign film. So I'll say 9 even.
9.2. You both are dancing around like square dancing and do-si-doing around this puppy. We go to Rotten Tomatoes time. 1 through 100, of course, is this scale. Dave Quist, what did the critics give The Godfather?
98.
Jackie.
Oh, yeah. 99.
Whoa.
They're touching themselves. Yeah.
Well, you're both so close. 97.
Who are the 3% assholes? I'm going to have to go through them.
Who are those 3% who were like, I'm never going to watch this?
Anyway. Well, let's see how much of the audience is an asshole percentage. We go back to Jackie Cashian. Jackie, what did the audience give on the old 1 to 100 for The Godfather?
Oh, I'd say probably an 86.
Dave Quist.
Oh, I think it's close to 100. I'm going to say 98 for critics. I'm going to say the same for audience.
One of you is dead nuts on, has won both showcases, including a beautiful Toyota Yaris and an all-inclusive trip to Jamaica. Dave Quist, come on down. Bam.
98
on
That's
the
right,
nose.
Jackie. Look, this is what you're up against,
all
baby.
Right. This is what I'm staring into. I'm staring into the barrel of a barrel of a cannoli here. Let's do this.
Oh, I can't wait for all the Italians from Ozone Park, Queens, to come on and knock on your door later on, Jackie. This is
okay. Come and knock on my door. Oh, okay.
The swinger.
Was that just a Three's Company's reference? And why do I know that?
Well, of course it was. It was one of the most known theme songs of all time.
I couldn't remember the name of the show, but I did remember the song. Right. My mind's a blur, you guys. All I can remember is my act, and I'm lucky then. So let's do it.
Quotes, you can act like a man. Can you guys imagine that happening now? Like Johnny Fontaine explaining his pronouns to Don Corleone.
This is the funniest shit in the whole movie.
Yeah.
I rewound it to watch it back, and my wife loves the movie as well. We were both just cracking up through this.
My brother Russ quotes it to his students. He literally is an econ professor at the University of Wisconsin, and he consistently says to his students, you could act like a man. And
that would be great.
That'd
be great.
Lets them swing.
That would be great if he was a ballet teacher. That'd be funnier.
He also makes them do laps out in the courtyard. He said, "Econ professor, have I mentioned that?"
Yes.
Let's see what you can you quiz figure out a quadratic equation while running the hills? Next quote: "I'm going to make an offer he can't refuse." Repeated ad nauseum. Mm-hmm, next one, mm-hmm. And this is the funniest line. I paused, goofawed, rewound, and goofawed again. I don't care how many Dago Greaseball Goomba Guineas come out of the woodwork. And then Tom Hagen with the most deadpan line goes, "I'm German-Irish."
And then the guy just reloads to his, let me just adjust my ethnic slurs to fire back at you.
Yep. Next one, of course, another obvious, leave the gun, take the cannoli. My my favorite one to give to my wife, and she gives back to me, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday. Don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again. Another no-brainer. And of course, don't ever ask me. And I say this to my wife. Don't ever ask me about my business again, Kay.
Hell yeah.
Is her name Kay?
No, her name is Nicole, but close.
No, I wanted it to be Kay.
I did too. I married a half Italian. I didn't go the Irish route. Hey, Jackie, what quotes jumped out at you that I pretty much picked apart for everybody? Sorry about that.
What's the quote? The one that gets quoted a lot in my family is the one is like, so you come to me on my daughter's wedding. I mean, literally the whole fucking speech. I get this. I got four brothers and a dad. My dad was a bag man for a bookie for many years. I can't fucking stand this movie. Oh. Anyway, so
we'll get to it. But I like the quote selection. I made a note about that later on. Any other quotes you have written down, or that's all?
There was the one at the very end where Kay says something about his business or something like that, and then he's like, and then there's that long shot where the guy kisses his ring. So what's the line right before that? I can't remember the line. It's, you have to know that I've seen this movie twice, and the second time was under duress because of this.
Duress my taint. You're the one who picked this film.
It's true, but I picked it because I was I didn't know I was going to have to watch it. I thought all I was right. Just going to go, I don't know what I thought the hour was going to be. No, I'm just going to pick a movie I didn't like, and then you guys were going to talk about how great it was. I think that's what I thought it was gonna
maybe
be.
Dave Quist, any other quotes?
It could
with
very
you?
Easily happen.
It's not personal, it's business. I mean, come on.
too obvious. But I had to, but okay,
right, right. Fish. Who does? I mean, I do love fish.
Yeah, it's
from,
sleeping with
from
the
Barney
fishes.
Miller? Yeah. Yep. No, fish from Barney Miller.
Abe Vigoda.
Oh, God, yeah. I like the, you know, I wonder if that line that Abe Vigoda utters later, if like, you know, would let me off the hook for old time's sake. I wonder if that was a common thing then, or if we've like, that's become famous afterwards. That was one thing. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry, Sally, can't do that.
Yeah. Did you say make him an offer he can't refuse? I mean, that's
of course. Yeah,
one.
Of course. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked. You can act like a man. I think those are really the big cannoli, the fishes. I mean, that's it. Those are the big ones.
That's it.
And the thing about don't insult my intelligence. I love that line. That's my favorite.
Five fun.
Yeah.
Facts. The studio wanted a more salacious gangster movie, so it threatened to fire Coppola, even going as far to have stand-in directors waiting on set. Coppola was reportedly getting the axe until he shot the scene where Michael kills Sollozzo and McCluskey, which the executive saw and loved. Wow. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. The sword of Damocles hanging over your head the entire time, and it turns out you made arguably one of the greatest film of all time. Hilarious.
Great. The limited series, The Offer on Paramount Plus is an absolute must watch.
Is it? I gotta watch that.
It's starring Miles Teller. Fantastic. Gotta watch it.
Number two.
Okay.
Jackie, go ahead. Would you want to say something?
I'm going to be behind the eight ball on this entire episode. Look forward to it, fans of this film. So that the quote I was thinking of, instead, you come into my house on the day my daughter is to be married and you asked me to do murder for money. And it's when I asked my brother Russ for money to pay for my DUI. And he's like, you come into my house. He doesn't have a daughter, by the way. He has two sons. Okay. So, this is integral to my family is what I'm saying.
Tell me you mowed someone down in a drunken rage. That makes that story so much better. I'm gonna quote some more apropos.
Oh, it would have been. Get him with the door as we drive by. Okay. So, that was
good one.
So number two, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I got another one. Luca Brasi, may the child be a masculine child. I just love that. I sent it to a buddy of mine. Yeah.
The studio wanted, I love these. My favorite, who could have played them role? I'm going to give you two chances to guess who they wanted to play. Michael Corleone. Both names, megastars in the 70s. One still 80s and maybe a little bit 90s and a little bit 2000s. The other guy has disappeared off the face of the earth. Who did the studio want to play Michael Corleone initially? Go shout it out if you know, or if you don't.
I think it was Redford, wasn't it?
That's one. The other one? Guesses?
I don't remember.
Paul?
Not Paul. Ryan O'Neill. That's funny. Okay. Ryan O'Neill.
Glad.
There you go.
Yeah. He almost.
He did. He did Paper Moon instead. Okay. So.
Oops. Yeah, and he was in
Paper Moon.
Paper Moon and
1972 as well, I believe. Yes.
What's it? The Barry Lyndon. He's really not that. It's a good movie, but he's not great in it. He's just like an complete empty vessel.
Mm-hmm. Also, for the other roles, approached to play Sonny? Big, huge name in the 70s. Huge.
Nicholson?
No, in 1972? To play Sonny. That wasn't... Wait. Who Hoffman? Played Sonny again?
I take that back. I'm sorry.
Who played Sonny?
I take this back. Khan. I take that back. Okay. These other two were considered for Michael. I take that back. So huge name in the 70s.
Oh, there we go.
Huge name in the 70s. So another two. So both huge in the 70s. Huge in the 70s. one is a bit of a trick question, but I'll give you two more chances here. Huge in the 70s, both names. What do you got? Anything else?
Warren Beatty?
No.
Yeah. Ricardo Montalban. He's actually he's Spanish.
Close. Okay. It was Hervé Villechaize. No.
The plane.
And then John Ritter. No. Martin Sheen to play Michael.
Oh, that makes yeah.
To make sense. And then James Caan tested for him but did not get it, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Number three, Lenny Montana, who played Luca Brasi, was a professional wrestler. Before becoming an actor, he was so nervous delivering his lines to a legend like Brando during the scene in the study that he did not give one good take during the entire day's shoot because Coppola did not have time to reshoot the scene. Coppola added a scene where Luca Brasi is rehearsing his lines before seeing The Godfather to make Montana's bad takes seem like Brasi was simply too nervous to talk to the Godfather.
Love it.
Smart move.
Nice fix. Fix.
Yeah.
It's almost
El Mariachi when he keeps cutting to the dog.
Good book. Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or Spielberg cutting around a shitty shark not working and making it first person.
Right.
Get ready for this one. This one blew me away. The horse's head in the movie producer's bed was not a prop.
Nope.
They
talk about this.
It was an actual prop.
It was a real horse's head.
Yep, from a local dog food company.
Yeah.
How the hell did the ASPCA sign off on this? But they're the same ones.
And how the hell did that actor just not? He's like, it's literally some real blood, some fake horse blood, but whatever it was, he had to act next to a rotting horse head.
Yes, hence the scream.
Wouldn't that been the bee's knees if he reaches over to the horse's head, takes a bite, goes, it's no big deal, like Bill Murray Caddyshack.
This thing's been hacked so bad. Anyway, go ahead.
Number five, after meeting with the Italian-American Civil Rights League, an organization formed to combat the use of stereotypes about that group, Coppola agreed to omit the words from the script. Mafia.
Mm-hmm. So they use Cosa Nostra. Yeah.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. And that those are some fun facts, if I do say so myself. Thank you. Thank you, Internet. Let's go and ask the, we call them the herd. Those are the folks who want to know what in the living hell is going on and why you hate this film. And this section, of course, being called Ask a Gutter. At Almighty Ray, Ray Stakanis from the Who Would Win show. Someone's trying too hard. This episode should be as one-sided as a hydraulic press versus a baseball. Question, what would be a good example of a good crime slash mob movie to this gutter? Jackie, what's a good crime slash mob movie to you?
Well, therein lies the rub, doesn't it? It's like Goodfellas is that the Coen brothers? Is that
what? No,
I think it's Miller's Crossing. Yep. Miller's Crossing. That's a better mob movie.
I like how you said just Goodfellas because, and didn't even say that as the best choice.
No, it isn't. Miller's Crossing. Miller's Crossing is a better mob movie than this one.
I respectfully disagree.
Right. But the thing is everything, it's sort of like saying, you know, it's hard because no mob movies were made before this. They were all caricatures, right? It was all just like Sheldon Leonard going and James Cagney going, yeah. And
Edward G. Robinson, another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just quietly, this movie is sort of more realistically quiet people killing people. Right. And hilariously so, which I get why it's beloved. I'm just saying that I don't enjoy it. But I did like Miller's Crossing better because here's another thing. No sequel and it's shorter. How about that? That's something I enjoyed. I also, Midnight Run, I enjoyed that a great deal. That doesn't have anything to do with the mob.
No, it's got nothing to do with it at all.
A little bit. Actually, the guy who's going to take the fork and stick it through his eye. Yes. Remember that?
I like
Midnight
how you
Run
just...
is the greatest buddy movie in the world. Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop. Beverly Hills Cop, it takes that cake, my dear. I will put that above Midnight Run.
Hey, baby cakes. Let me tell you something about Midnight Run, honey. Midnight Run's the greatest buddy movie in the world.
No, so. Robert De Niro doesn't do comedy. We can see that very well. He's okay.
Charles Grodin is surprisingly great.
He is great. That's the best.
When Robert De Niro does comedy by being the straight man, he's hilarious. Every time you get a dog or somebody's grandchild involved, Robert De Niro should be buried headfirst in the sand at his feet painted with honey. An ant should be released.
Well, actually, I take that bet because you're right, Jackie. He is hilarious when he's a straight man, especially when he was in The Irishman giving the world's slowest curb job while seemingly standing in quicksand because he's so goddamn old. That was hilarious. I laughed.
That. I didn't see that. Fair enough.
It's a movie. Next one. At Delvin Cox, I never watched it, but I just wanted to make Kevin Goatee mad. Tell me why New Jack City is a better film. Smiley face emoji.
Ooh.
The soundtrack is better, the New Jack City, than Godfather. That I will say.
I don't even know if I agree with that.
You're insane. Yeah, Ice-T doing New Jack Hustler is one of the greatest songs in movie history. It's catchy
as fuck. I was in Venice, in the square, at a cafe. They start playing the soundtrack to The Godfather. I was like, do you know that this is not helping your people? Italy? Anyway, so did I'm everyone, literally having a cappuccino in Italy. So
did everyone start doing the tarantella? When that was over?
It was less that. And when in Spain, nobody did Speedy Gonzales.
And, but Speedy Gonzales is Mexican. That's why they didn't do it. I've been to Spain too. And we all can't forget Pookie. Pookie is a great for a laugh or two as well, as I say about New Jack City, but that's that.
Oh, man.
At Newark Night, another question for Jackie. The Family Guy scene where Peter says he couldn't finish the movie because it insists upon itself. Do you agree with this line, or is it just a dumb one from a show?
Here's the other thing. I don't like the Family Guy.
Jesus H. Christ.
I know it.
That was your opportunity, Jackie.
I know it. It was my chance to make more friends with dudes. I've been doing comedy for too long to care if I'm friends with any more dudes. So,
well, why are you so misandrous, Jackie?
Well, I think it's just because I've been living alive so long. I'm so sorry.
What are you
other than that,
what did they do to you? This is obviously from some. This is family trauma. This is why you're here. So what happened?
Actually, my brothers and my dad. not an elbow squeezer or a rapist among them. Okay. They're jackasses, but it's a very low bar, you guys. I've been doing stand-up comedy to have a super low bar with some dudes.
I've been doing stand-up too, but not as long as that. Do I hate that movie? Jesus H. Christ.
The thing is I'm just bored of the movie, actually, which is actually a greater indictment of the movie than to hate it. I'm sorry to say. So,
all right, Peter Griffin hater. Next question for you. bold choice, Jackie. My question: What would all of your mob names be?
Big Julie. Wouldn't it be Big Julie from Guys and Dolls? See, you guys, I'm not going to have the references you're going to.
Show tunes for two straight dudes. This is the category in Jeopardy. I can never answer. The only time I get a question right is because I've seen a billboard. I work in the city, so I see the billboards or I see them on top of cabs. I know nothing about Broadway or show tunes. So you will have free
the mob
runway.
Is in Guys and Dolls. The mob is in Guys and Dolls, and Big Julie is the mobster from Chicago who comes into town, and he plays dice, and he's losing against the Marlon Brando character, and Big Julie wants to use his dice, which doesn't have any dots on it, and Big Julie says, "No, I remember where they were."
Oh, do they sing this the entire time in dialogue? Because that's why I don't watch musicals.
They don't, because Marlon Brando can't sing. So Marlon Brando sings like 1.5 songs, and it's not good.
I would actually watch that just to watch that train wreck occur.
You could have made all this up, as far as I know.
Of course you could have.
Right, exactly. I totally could have.
You might as well come
Three
on.
Three points,
and,
Quest.
You might as well come on and say that I'm a WNBA expert. I would just nod my head and agree. But go, okay, sure. Cheryl Swoops got it. Whatever. Right. Brittany Griner.
I don't even know what is that a sport? What is that?
Barely.
Oh, NBA.
At Kevin Israel, NJ, our buddy. What would Jackie take, the gun or the cannoli? This is a commonly themed question, so we'll just ask it once.
You gotta leave the gun. You take the cannoli. It's your wife told you to bring the cannoli home. Fucking bring the cannoli.
Oh yeah.
It's yeah.
Cannoli, overrated pastry. Thank you.
No
Next,
way.
Oh yeah.
I never had a good one.
Wow!
I work in the city. I've had plenty of them. They just don't do anything for me. Not a fan. My at Rex Crumb. My question: how long have you identified as Fredo?
Oh, them's fighting words in my family. It's funny because Russ always says Phil's Fredo, and then Phil always says Scott's Fredo, and Scott always says Russ is Fredo, and everyone knows that my brother Terry is Fredo. So there you go.
Poor Terry.
Is Terry a wheezy asthmatic turncoat?
Terry's an evangelist with his own church who's doing a line veto of the Bible.
Oh, boy. Sounds like Terry's got his own private jet.
Yeah, there's no reason why Terry shouldn't be a gajillionaire.
Yeah, righteous gemstones.
At Zyphos, I would ask if she enjoys ice skating uphill.
I can't even ice skate backwards, and I'm from Wisconsin, so this is a valid question.
With that accent, Wisconsin? No.
Hard to believe. Oh, cripes, it's nice there.
Next. Joe Rahme Jr., I recently read that Francis Ford Coppola, his own self, does not like The Godfather. For me, Donnie Brasco somewhat ruined it when Pacino says, no facial hair in Cosa Nostra. It's a statement, Joe, but okay. Love you anyway.
I don't know if that's true. By the way, I think Donnie Brasco sucks. That's my take.
Sucks? I think it sucks.
I think it sucks.
I think it's fine. It's good. It's not in my it's not my pantheon, that's for sure. But
it's the bottom of the barrel of this style of film, I think.
As bottom of the barrel as 2001 A Space Odyssey is?
don't hey, we'll save it. I'll say, hey, my last word on that thing is I liked the movie until I saw that in the 4K restoration in theater, and it was an incredible experience. So that's my selling point. I'll never drag you there. I'll never change your mind, but
no,
that's what did it for me.
I require a plot and some semblance of direction. That's what I require. I'm not going to apologize for anything along those lines. Next question at Nemirovsky. Jackie, what is an example of a movie that deserves to be ranked higher than The Godfather that is otherwise considered an inferior movie?
Does he want a paper on his desk of 1200 words on Monday? Jesus Christ, a little more complicated, brother. It's best movies of all time. If I remember correctly, please repeat the question.
It's basically saying what would you put over? Okay,
I wouldn't put Citizen Kane above it because I didn't like Citizen Kane either. I would put Casablanca above it. Sure,
that's fair.
Citizen Kane, I agree on, but we did in the podcast both of those. I forgot what I thought about Casablanca. Next one at Joe Loves Cam. How delicious are the cannolis if Clemenza can still think about dessert right after a hit?
That must be a hell of a cannoli. I've never had a great cannoli myself. It's a sad state of affairs. Yeah.
And then, of course, next we have, these are the scores. So we have a few score predictions. I will save until the end to as not influence either of you. That is going to close Ask a Gutter. Now, hey, no one listens to the end of podcasts. That's silly talk. So we get our plugs right out in the middle or even the beginning. Jackie Cation, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
You guys want to watch something that's not worth watching?
Nope.
I have a new tiny special. It's a new special. It's 10 minutes of me telling car jokes into the ass of a Mazda 6 in reverse. Not even kidding. I am lavved up standing behind a Mazda 6 staring into the license plate telling car jokes. My buddy Kyle is filming that car in reverse, and either Olivia or Emily, I paid her $100 to keep her foot on the brake so it wasn't a snuff film. It's called Looking Back. And if you go to JackieCation.com, you can watch that 10 minutes of car jokes all you want. And then I'm going to be in Phoenix this weekend. I don't know when this is out. I'm always on the road. JackieCation.com. Thank you very much for your time.
That's better. We still have a few more. Oh, my God. We still have more Ask a Gutters here. So let's just roll through them. We have a lot more, actually. Let's see.
You? Are you kidding? This movie is beloved.
Next. That's a lot of you. At Pedestrian, do you think Elon made an offer that couldn't be refused?
Yes.
Great.
More. I refuse to elaborate.
Yes.
What that else?
Okay, here we go. Someone finally came from the number two movie on the AFI 100 list. Brandon says, I know KG hates this list, but does Jackie think The Godfather deserves to be second on the list or on the list at all? And the second half, would you have married a guy after hearing his first wife died in Italy over a year ago?
My stepmother married my father, and she didn't know he had 6 kids. And he told her and then asked her to marry him. And then she married him. I come from a long line of terrible life decisions. You don't know. You don't know. I might.
Did he just catch her with a metaphorical right cross to the jaw? Like, I got 6 kids. Want to marry me? And she's just like, yeah. What?
Essentially, my parents were divorced. Nancy and my dad were living together. My mom dies. My dad comes in, and Nancy tells me the story. She's like, he comes in and he goes, yeah, my wife died. I get the kids back. And she's like, what kids?
Oops.
And he says, I have 6 kids. And my dad's the kind of guy who always believes he's already told you. So she goes, what kids? And he goes, you know, the kids. Terry, Phillip, Scott, Russ, Darla, Jackie, you know, the kids. And then she fucking married him, which, that's on her.
I can relate. If I say it in my mind, then you should all be aware of it.
Did he rehearse that scene like Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting where he memorized all the 12 fake names for his brothers?
That out loud that he has no regrets in life. He has He should have several regrets.
And the the Gaslighter Award winner of this year is Jackie's
Elliot
dad.
Cation.
Look, yeah. what a
Elliot
marvel.
Cation, friend of the people.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Next one, let's go to at Zyphos again. How addicted to Adderall is she?
Oh, I ain't never tried no Adderall. I've been wanting to,
it's
though.
Great.
Holy smokes. Is he my dealer? Okay.
What's your vice, Jackie?
Seriously,
cocaine,
probably
a
the
lot
worst
of it.
Thing, the worst thing I do is I reread books. You guys,
that's the lamest fucking shit I've ever.
Oh, Danny,
I used to, I got two DUIs, so I don't drink anymore. So
you and Danny Tanner had that same, like, you know, super cutesy poo peccadillos here, rereading.
So I get the first DUI. The cop pulls me over and he says, "Ma'am, have you been drinking?" And I say, "I'm drunk, but I'm okay." And he's like, "Wow, step out of the vehicle." A year and a half later, I get my second DUI. He's like, "Ma'am, have you been drinking?" And this one, you thought I'd learn. I said, "A lot, but I'm okay." And he's like, "Wow, step out of the vehicle."
Tell me it was the same guy, the same cop.
I wish it was two different states before real ID. So I was first DUIs in each state. I win.
Wasn't that'd be even funnier if you get hit with the same cop and you said, "Hey, you're drinking," go, "Yeah, for this last year and a half straight without stopping until you got me." I could do this all day.
Like, you'd been following me around. Yeah.
Best I can remember, my friend's response, there was about eight of us crammed into his tiny Saab. We were all sitting on top of each other. He gets pulled over. I mean, he's hammered. And the cop says, "You've been drinking." He says, "Yeah, I had one big one." And somehow he let us go.
I like how, what was gayer, the fact that he was driving a Saab or the fact you're all sitting on top of each other?
There were women. three guys, three girls.
It's like,
okay,
have you ever heard Chad Daniels? Have you ever heard Chad Daniels bit about how he found out that he liked a finger up his ass? He's like, "If any part of me is in a woman, then it doesn't matter what part of you is up my ass."
Because
then I'm still straight.
So that's what he's telling his shrink over and over and over to try and smooth it out. Nice try, Chad.
I think some douche was giving him shit for it. He was like, "All right, whatever."
Last and one, so. At Pedestrian, what bad spaghetti dinner caused this position?
My Nancy Cation, half Italian, could not make spaghetti to save her life. Bit of a pity that.
Yeah, let me guess. Italians in Wisconsin, not exactly culinary experts.
In the 70s? Are you kidding me? The worst. So in 1972, my father hated this movie because he was like, we're all going to get in a lot of trouble because of this movie. We're all going to get in a lot of trouble. And then he saw it and he was like, "It was a pretty good movie." And he's also an aluminum siding salesman and he hated Tin Men until he saw it. And then he was like, "That movie was funny." Okay, so
back to the plugs. Dave Quist, what are you up to? Where can we find you? Shout it out.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @Dave_Quist, our main podcast account at Blockbuster Mentality. You can get us where you get the podcast. Our latest episode is The Prestige, and a couple
good
things
one.
Coming up. I think we're going to get into some flopbusters. I think the one that we're setting our eye on is John Carter. That could be the next one.
KevinGoatee.com for the shenanigans and guttingthesacredcow.com. Go get yourself a hat. Go get yourself a mug. Go get yourself a shirt. Support your favorite movie debate, movie review podcast. That's much better than the Blockbuster Mentality. I trust you on that. trust me on that. Excuse me. Of course, we love those 5-star ratings and 2- and 3-sentence reviews. Come on, folks. That helps the algorithm. guttingthesacredcow @gmail.com. Dave, let's really walk Jackie right into the pit of Mordor and see if she has a possibility of denting this absolute adamantium covered juggernaut and guts
the
sacred cow.
Unobtainium. You guys cover it in unobtainium. Do whatever you want to do with it.
That's hilarious. Great reference. Go ahead, Jackie. Fire away.
Okay. Here's what I have. the thing is there's two problems with this movie. First of all, unless you're 70 years old, I'll go 60. There's no reason why you should like this movie when the first time you see it, because it's been hacked so bad that you're like, I get every, like, it's almost impossible to watch. You've heard all of the lines. You know that the horse is going to be there. You're just like, no, I get it. I get it. Futurama made fun of it. Family Guy made fun of it. Everyone made fun of it. Even, like, I think there's a Matthew Broderick movie where Marlon Brando plays himself.
The freshman.
That's it. And so it'd be really hard to watch this movie if you weren't already 63 years old and think to yourself, this is great. But that being said, it is a beautifully shot movie. The reason I don't like it, I, Jackie Cation, don't like it, is because it wasn't made for me. I don't give a shit. I've never enjoyed a mobster movie. My father, possibly because my dad hung around with a lot of dirtbags, I was like, yeah, it's like I can't watch reality show either. I already know people that are making terrible life choices. The fictionalization of what is actually, like, in the world of actual mob movies, Miller's Crossing is better because it is actually even more realistic. Like, you know how, like, the Sheldon Leonards and James Cagney movies were all kind of, I'm going to get you. And this one was like menacing but quiet. Miller's Crossing is casually, like, Hitler-level cruelty, where we're just going, oh, no, I'm going to actually kill that dog and that baby and you're in my way, and I also want that $17. And so, I mean, these are not – and the reason I never watched The Godfather 2, which arguably is supposed to be better than The Godfather, is that at the end of the movie, there's that long shot after he lies to Kay, and he says he's not gonna take over the business, or he's not the Godfather or whatever. And that guy kisses his ring, and the door closes. I remember watching it, thinking, "Well, this relationship isn't gonna work out at all." And that is my reasoning. There you go. Feel free to take it apart.
Wow, that's it.
Well, that's the shortest one we've ever had.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, I still have beer left. My beer is like halfway gone. Really? That's it?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just settled into my chair, Jackie.
It's boring. It's super boring. I didn't like it because it bored the shit out of me. Is that something?
I mean, that's something.
That is something, yes. It's,
Jackie, if you're done, you're done. Jackie, give me a 1 to 10.
On the grounds of me ever watching it again, or on the grounds of, like, how well done it was, or what's the 1
your,
to 10?
Your overall opinion of the film. There are no boundaries or constraints.
Would I ever recommend this film to anyone?
No, I asked 1 to 10. I didn't ask you if you recommend it or not.
Okay, so then I give it a 2.
A 2?
A 2? Fucking 2!
A 2? You're going to tell me this film is worse than Napoleon Dynamite.
A movie I've never seen.
Don't rush. It stinks. You're going to tell me this film.
What's another 2, Jackie? Give us another 2 for reference.
Goodfellas.
Taxi Driver.
I got to go Hannah and Her Sisters.
Oh, fuck.
I rewatched it not long ago. It's definitely not a 2. Really? I'm not a Woody Allen guy either.
It's super boring.
Some of those films are hit and miss.
Yeah, it's also here's the thing is, here's what I will say about The Godfather is that it literally, if I were to meet a young man who idealized like a George Foster Wallace or a Hunter S. Thompson or who loved, you know, was really into that, you know, like a Vice City, Call of Duty. I do a podcast called The Dork Forest. And one of the episodes, a really good guy named Taylor, musician dude, and he loved first person shooters. And at one point said the most chilling thing I've ever heard in my life, which was when I asked him, were you ever in the service? He said, almost. That's the creepiest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, it would have been creepier. He said, no, but I've been practicing getting ready for my first school shooting next week.
Yeah, that was the undercurrent of almost. And but I will say this, is that if he asked me what movie should he watch, I would tell him The Godfather. I would be like, dude, you would love The Godfather. You know what else he might enjoy? What wasn't made for me in 1982? Porky's.
It's a terrible film. Oh, it's awful.
And it wasn't even well. That's because it was made for 13-year-old boys. And
well, hold on. I'm a 13-year-old boy still at Harper. God damn it. It is not funny. It is terribly not funny. I watched it maybe a year or two ago.
That's because you're also not 60 years old, right?
No.
Because if you would have been 13 in 1982, you would have been like, it was all right. I like the titties.
But I love Animal House, and that's 1978. So, yeah. I mean, we're going backwards here, but with that's the logic.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, Porky's is actually arguably just a bad movie start to finish. Animal House, I can't watch Animal House anymore.
Jesus.
I saw it at the theater.
It's on the theater.
Jackie,
you're 100 years old.
Yeah. I have to know, what is a 10 for you? Give me like 3 10s.
Oh Christ! Not that I love.
Well, shit! When you come on and give The Godfather
Holiday,
2,
I love. Okay, Holiday. You ever see that? It's a Catherine. It's a comedy. Here's what I watch movies for.
Okay,
Kevin, you should know this. KG, you should know that Jackie Cation is watching movies to be entertained. I am not watching movies to be sad. I am not watching movies to learn shit. And I am not watching movies to be angry, right? So Holiday is a smart comedy, right? Holiday
here
is
we
Catherine
go.
Hepburn, Cary Grant and Catherine Hepburn, 1939.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, that's a good movie. Yeah.
I've not seen that.
Okay, it's relatively adorable. There's Casablanca, a movie that I'll watch 100 times. I'll watch
Meatballs too.
The Thin Man series. I'll watch that. I will watch things like Star Wars, Raiders, the Children's Crusade. No, it's not the children. It's the third one. What's the third?
Last Crusade.
It's not Love the Children's it. Crusade. Nobody's sending kids off into Central Europe to die, Jackie.
We're just letting you hang yourself here, Jackie.
Right. These are fun, good movies. Some people find The Godfather a fun, good movie, right?
I don't know if anybody thinks it's fun.
Fun, no. I would not say fun. No. Good, I would say people think that's definitely the case, but fun.
You don't, I mean, the thing is you, all of my brothers quote this movie all the time, and they think it's the funniest thing in the world to just go, leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Well, there's sort of like a... There's a surface level aesthetic that is amazing and quotable. And then there's a much deeper film underneath that as well.
Where's the depth? Yeah, sell it.
Oh,
sell
we'll it. Get what to am, that.
Oh, fair enough.
All right. Dave Quist, let me here we go. You got your chance. Get those sights prepared. Cock it and load.
Not that I'm the first person to ever defend The Godfather, but I think a good point to start is the movie, as sort of Jackie says, movie's not for me. And I think there's even, I haven't seen Barbie, but I've heard there's a joke in there about The Godfather. And this idea that maybe The Godfather, as we're sort of like, 51 years away from the release, that it's a kind of movie
Jesus
just like
Christ, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all getting old quickly. But it's a movie like just for like film bros or for guys like Dave Quist who have a podcast and will do an episode on The Godfather and talk about it for 2 hours with his co-host. But as Kevin mentioned, it really at the beginning, the movie was a massive hit. And this is it's one of those rare films where you get, it's both critically adored and the audience loves. And in fact, when The Godfather was released, I believe it was the highest grossing movie of all time in 1970, yes. To date in 1972. So this wasn't just
and it lasted a long time. Yeah.
Right. And so this wasn't just some film bro, art house snobby film. This was a movie. This was a movie for everyone. And so that's where I would push back that, I mean, not every movie is for everyone. But at the time,
do I get to respond to these things piecemeal, sure. Or should I take notes?
Come at me, Jackie. Come at me.
I will say this is that when you say it is for everyone and the, look at the demographic of who was making those decisions, who everyone was. Who is everyone in 1972? Who's going to the movies?
The movie-going audience.
Who's writing the reviews?
These are families.
Who's voting? They aren't families. They're men.
Well, you don't get to be the... We're doing the sexist thing now? I mean...
No, literally.
Is that where you're going? I don't...
It is.
You're the greatest.
I'm not talking about sexism.
You're the highest grossing movie of all time. It cannot, by definition, be exclusive to men. It just cannot. So
no, and I'm not. But
we're going there. No, please don't go there.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying it's sexist. I'm saying that it was Is this sexism that it was all of the reviews and all of the movies and all of the moviegoers are men? That's not sexism. That's just a fact. There's nothing. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm literally just saying it wasn't made for me.
I mean, that's just not. Well,
that's not sexist. You not think it was made for me?
Look, Citizen Kane is not made for me, and I'm with you guys on that. Yeah, so that's my point. Essentially, is this was it? It's the fact that it was so beloved by critics and audiences at the time. I think is in its favor. Very similar. I mean, you mentioned Star Wars. I think that's one of the that's another another one where critics and audiences came together. And actually, there's now that I think about it, both the movies are very, very similar in the way they changed cinema. I think we saw after this was 1972, that whole style of 70s sort of dark, gritty was inspired. I think Godfather really changed drama, kind of the way Star Wars changed fantasy, sci-fi.
Man, too, right?
Yeah, stuff like, yes, exactly. And I think the reason why, although you made a point, Jackie, about the cultural references, and Kevin, we ran into this with Animal House too, didn't we? About how people know the joke from the thing, but they don't know where it came from because they heard it on some other thing. But that's not the fault of the movie. That's just pop culture. So I don't know that you can. I don't think The Godfather takes a hit because it was so culturally influential that they then made a riff on it. So that's not a fault to the original material.
Well, it doesn't hold up though. I mean, it's very hard to watch it if you keep getting pulled out of the movie. You know, if you're a 22-year-old watching this movie going, "Oh, that's weird." Like you kept getting pulled out of it. It'd be hard to enjoy a film. It's sort of spoiler alert. You know, you're going to know 17 lines in this movie and you're going to wonder. You're like, "Is that from The Simpsons?" And you're like, "What is that?" You know. But that doesn't, it's not going to help the movie is what I'm saying for new people who want to see the film.
Yeah, I understand that. But I would say the reason why it still resonates, one of the reasons why it still resonates 53 years later, much in the way Star Wars does, is because although the film was 3 hours long and there's betrayal and some Italian guy name did something to this Italian guy name and I kind of forgot who this guy was and why they're doing the thing exactly if I'm not completely paying attention. At its heart, it's a very simple story, which is it's a story about, in a way, it's a king who's facing life slowing him down and a world changing and he has three sons who he's going to have to give his kingdom to. And none of them are his equal. They're all flawed in some certain way. And basically the TV show Succession is this exact same story, just played as a dark comedy. It's a very simple story.
Would you say though not all three are flawed? I think Michael's the only lone pearl in that bunch, and he didn't want to sully him by having him take over the family business. It's kind of like forced issue to do that.
He
gets forced into doing it. He is, you know, he's a war hero and wants to be a straight shooter, but he gets sucked into it.
Yeah, you're going to be a senator or a president. But Michael's flaw is he's He's the most cunning of all of them, just as smart as Vito, but what he becomes is cold-hearted. And mm-hmm. he ends up destroying himself and everyone he loves, which we kind of get really more to. We see that path at the end of this one, but really in the second movie. Jackie, I think you'd enjoy the second movie. You probably won't, because it's not made for you.
I was given VHS of this movie. I've been given DVDs of this movie. I've been given Blu-ray of this movie. It's the reason I picked this movie is because I've only watched the VHS and then the streaming. So
I think that setup is really why it still works, because it's an age-old tale of a king with basically yes. unworthy sons. And as powerful right. as Michael becomes, he is very flawed. And we know Sonny being a hothead, it basically gets him killed because he's quick to anger. Fredo is not stupid, but just too trusting and easily manipulated, and really just wants approval that he never really gets around him, so he gets it from other people. And so I think that's kind of really what the real appeal is. And then we have Kay, who, and there was a question, KG, Twitter, why would she do that? She's attracted to it. She's attracted to the money and the power. She doesn't like herself for liking it, but she's completely drawn to it. She knows at the end of this movie that Michael's lying to her. And she's kind of there for it.
Just making she's consciously making a terrible life choice.
And so I don't think it's the quotes.
It happen in real life.
Yeah, because that's what feels real. And if you want to know why people like stories like this, it's because they see themselves in these characters. There's a bit of Fredo in all of us. As much as we would really hate to admit, when my papa's getting shot down in the street, I might fumble my gun. Right. If I face a tragedy when I go off to Sicily, which is to me, I think the Sicily stuff is the most beautiful thing in almost all of cinema. There's very little dialogue. It's just a score and just a little bit of I see this girl. I talk to her father. It's beautiful. And then she gets blown up and died. And there goes the rest of my soul as a human being. And so I'm like one tragedy away from just becoming a complete, becoming Satan, essentially, you know, or if I'm quick tempered. So I think it's those archetypes, Jackie, I think that draw us to those things. Right. It's not about sleeping with the fishes. It's not about the cannoli. I mean, they're fun lines, but I think that's why the story is endured. What would you have done with Carlo, Jackie?
Oh, good question.
Carlo and I would not have met.
I know how Jackie would. I know how Jackie would have fixed him. She would have got him in a car and gotten her third DWI.
We would have got real close to an edge, and I would have pushed him off. No, there was a lot of hitting in my childhood. Weirdly enough, my mother used to beat up my dad. It was one of the reasons why he left.
I guess your dad couldn't put his hands up and throw a proper jab.
Well, he was told he wasn't supposed to hit women, so he fucking bolted, leaving all six of us to get the shit beat out of us for the next 4 years.
I don't have a lie here. You know, I could be brief like Jackie and say it's amazing you suck, but no.
You're not wrong.
And so we get a classic story with amazing actors top to bottom. Even Robert Duvall, who's really just a kind of minor bit in this, is great. Everyone is great. James Caan is perfect. Pacino, of course, we know. And Talia Shire, who I adore. Everyone top to bottom is great. And so that's what I like. It's the little touches within the film. It's the filmmaking. It's the acting. It starts very simple at its core, and then it gets more complex. And the movie's always ahead of you. You're never ahead of the film, what's going on. And that's one of a failure of writing, especially now, where you're like, okay, this guy's going to do this thing. You're never like that when you're watching this movie. Maybe you're bored. Okay, fine. I can't do anything for your attention span.
No. Shit. So you're a filmmaker, Dave Quist. Is that what I'm
understand? A jackass. I'm a film bro with a podcast. That's all I am.
Yeah, take a number. Okay.
I'm a toxic male with a podcast. That's all. That's it. I'm just a fan.
Okay. Yeah, but you enjoy the mechanics of it, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah. Because I see it as it's happening on screen, I go, okay, that's awesome.
I am not a film. I am not a filmmaker, and I'm not much of a film buff. So
you don't say,
which is very sad. I know, sad. Hard to believe. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's shit. As I said from the
you
beginning.
Called it a two.
I just didn't like it. But that was what he asked. He insisted that I pick for me. What is it? A two.
I feel confident.
You got me?
Hold on, I'm saving myself. Dave, what do you have? Score? You have a score there for me, or you're going to get more points?
No, I think I'm good. I'll give it a score. I'm gonna. This is a 10. Not only is it on the Ebert scale of did it succeed in doing what it wanted to do, it's just a fucking awesome movie. And in fact, in it's the sort of thing where you have to, Jackie, I'm not trying to sell you, but once you get into the pacing of this film, once you get what it's doing, you are just so locked in. And when the movie ended, I let part two roll, and I'm like 30, 45 minutes into part two. And I'm like, Christ, I got shit to do today. Kind of a thing. And I DM'd KG, or I think I tweeted at you that I was watching it. And I'm going to lose my whole day watching part two because there's a feel to the these films, and once you're locked into them, it's very rare. It's a very rare feeling that you get from other movies for me.
Don't think I have not been a hostage in my brother Russ's house by him just showing me this movie over and over and over again, because I have.
But you got to take it on your own. It's like anything though. You have to be. It could be anything. If you're not in the mood for it,
because it's
it'll lose you.
You can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean I don't like you guys.
I like you too, Jackie. These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com. Again, where you can buy a hat, mug, shirt, bag, and leave us that 5-star rating for the love of Christ.
Do it, guys. What the? God damn it.
I screenshot. Have we agree on the verb?
Do
screenshot,
it right now.
Screenshot. Yeah. There you go, Jackie.
This podcast will play in the background, and then you just fucking go there and leave a 5-star, 2 sentences. I hated that bitch, but I love this show.
Listen, Jackie will come to your house, get drunk, and make you drive with her. She goes for DWI number 7.
That's the ticket now. Yeah.
While I also text.
Love it. Notes. Don Corleone makes a great point about the mortician, about having his hand out and never offering anything in return when he needs something. Kind of like stand-up comics with stage time. Can I get a spot? Can I get a spot? Can I get a spot? Oh, they don't return emails. Unless you did give him a spot. Jackie, that joke was for you and I.
You just us.
Hey, he built an empire on exchanging favors.
After the Corleone wedding, all the wedding guests then throw on tank tops and hit the Point Pleasant boardwalk down the Jersey Shore while double-fisting White Claws. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
As a Jersey boy, I have
and,
to.
And yeah. Yep.
Luca Brasi sounds like Mongo from Blazing Saddles with Down syndrome.
Perfect.
We are Al Pacino right now. We're moving from high pitch Al in stage one, Dog Day Afternoon, to regular voice Pacino in stage two. Another 20 years, he hits hooah, great ass, stage three Al Pacino, stage four Al Pacino, agreeing to do Jack and Jill with Adam Sandler, and stage five, coughing viral dust inside of a woman with granddaddy issues. That's the opportunity.
Well, it is amazing, his transformation as a character, and yes, as a human being, he just continued to morph literally.
The old guy singing at the wedding looks like he's doing his best Mitch McConnell stroke face. My wife and I had a pretty above average wedding, just over 100 people. I'm having agita from watching this wedding, which has at least 500 guests. This wedding must have cost more than Hunter Biden built from the Chinese and Ukrainian governments. Ever bang someone at a wedding, guys? Is that ever pull someone down at a wedding and do like Sunny did?
I got game, but not that kind of game.
I got good. This is a good story. I actually met a woman one day at the beach, and she's like, I have to go to a wedding tonight. Do you want to be my date? And I am shit-faced. I go, yeah, you have to drive me back to my house, and I have to get a suit. She was like, done. So, of course, we go to the wedding, and that night, it's like, hey, it's time to bang, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go back to her house. She goes, it's time to bang, right? She goes, oh, I can't. I'm ovulating. And the last thing I said before passing out was, hey, your mouth's not ovulating, is it? She agreed.
Oh, the memories. The memories, you guys.
Sound logic.
She acquiesced. Good girl. This is the first time in movie history, Dave Quist, I have seen a large cake make its way through a crowd and absolutely nothing happens to that cake.
Oh, imagine if something had happened to that fucking cake.
That should have been the B plot, Jackie.
Right?
We should have told the story.
The B plot.
It falls on the table. It falls on like one of the head mafia guys as a guest, and instant gang warfare breaks out.
I gotta go to the bathroom. I taped a gun under the
The horse head scene reminds me about the time I had a one night stand in. Would you believe she neglected to tell me she was on her period? She claimed, oh, it must be due to some spotting because I'm on some kind of new birth control. Sure it was. Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. This girl horse-headed me. Or this. Yeah. That.
Oh, I love that. I love that, DQ. Oh, she horse-headed me. What does that mean? Woke up in a bed full of period blood. That's going in the lexicon, DQ. I'm giving you all credit on that one.
Heavy flow, heavy flow, you guys. You gotta admit it.
Watching Luca Brasi's face as he got the Garrett looked like my face when I watched the first 8 minutes of Ken Jeong's stand-up special on Netflix.
Oh shit!
That was
terrible.
Is that Dr. Ken?
Yes, yeah. From The Hangover.
Oh, I don't know him. Okay,
sure you do.
I never saw that either.
No, listen.
But I think
don't rush.
Don't rush. I think he did a set at the at the Improv when I saw him, and he was very charming. And I don't remember any punchlines.
Five shots, and Don Corleone still lives. Did they send Italian stormtroopers to kill him?
How about that? The most dramatic fall in movie history. Over the car. That's great.
When they whack Paulie, they just get out of the car and walk. They're in the swamp, and it looks like Jersey at best. Who's picking them up? There's no car nearby. That is a long hike back, especially for a guy on the wrong side of 350 pounds and has the body of an Italian grimace.
I'd have to agree with that. I was wondering to say, yeah, like, where the fuck are they going? They're going to walk through the grass field? Yeah. Where are they going to get back?
Those are swamps, I promise you. We've all been there, Michael Corleone. You're on the phone with your lady friend, and she's trying to get you to say, I love you, when your buddies are there. I fully expected him to say, hey, put a cork in it, honey. Daddy's talking business.
Clement is like, I love you with all of my heart. That made me smile. Yeah.
And here's Talia Shire with the most Italian of stereotypes for the women, smashing dishes in anger. Oh, we haven't seen that coming, have we? Age is the worst poison. Why? Diane Keaton was an attractive woman back then, but now looks like Penny Marshall with a meth problem.
You should see Penny Marshall now.
She's dead. I know.
I have to say, if there is a negative, I don't think she's great in this film. She really doesn't really. There's that one line in part two, which then, you know, seals it all. But, yeah, I would say she's kind of a negative in this film.
Is she the weakest link?
I think they could have done. They needed a different actress there for Michael. I think.
I don't think
or
she.
Or just
that,
not
this
her
one,
at all.
But,
just no women at all. Just take her out completely.
No. Hey, don't. We're doing this again.
Yeah. I think you just made this. You just made this sexist. Why did you do that?
No, I think she's a phenomenal actress, and she's. I said part two is maybe the best delivery in all of the movies, but I think she's slightly miscast in this one.
The restaurant scene with Sollozzo and McCluskey is still goddamn amazing. If that doesn't make you drop the remote, I don't know what will.
Hell yeah.
Everyone in this film is dressed at all times like they're going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, except Sonny. He's dressed like he's about to enter an arm wrestling contest at a flea market.
He's got the hairy chest and everything.
the white guinea tea, white beater. Nothing like a bunch of dudes talking about how hot women are, and then the metaphorical cold water thrown in your face moment when you realize they're talking about your daughter. I can't.
That's
wait
like that a scene in Say Anything.
Horrible
you're sitting
film,
outside
by
the gas and sit
by
gas
choice.
Sip. No women anywhere. Yeah,
by choice. I can't wait for that moment when my daughter is then 18 in 10 years. Great. Can't wait.
Oh, man.
Michael has a black eye in Italy, but no one explains why he has a black eye.
Good call. I mean, like, how long? Yeah, what is that? Right? Because it's got to be weeks or a month. It's not like 2 days, right? So I agree.
Did a local town girl bash him in the face with a rolling pin in true Italian fashion? the days when women claimed getting a black eye was their fault. If Chris Brown only had access to a real-life time machine.
Yeah.
I wrote this down. I called an audible before I forgot about this. Sonny giving Carlo a half step better beating than Robert De Niro giving a slow curb job during in quicksand during The Irishman. I wrote that down too. Yep. Sonny continuing to continually walking around clothes in clothes that would confuse him for a platinum member on a Carnival cruise ship. The guys who shot Sonny at the toll booth all dressed like the henchmen in Batman 1989 or Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal video. Which one?
Smooth Criminal.
I have it.
Yeah.
This is very hard for me to swallow this moment. How the hell did all those people, the hitmen, know that Sonny would be at that toll booth at the exact moment? I know Carlo was in on
what
it.
What lane?
Right. What well, lane? Yeah. As well as if he, Carlo decides to tune up Connie as bait to get him to come. That is insane planning. That's the one thing I'm like, I'm not buying it. Like, I'm going to go beat up. Hold on. Let me go beat up my wife, his sister. And I guarantee in 35 minutes, he'll be at the toll booth. Cause you know, people just sitting there, you know, trying to pitch pennies in a cup or doing something to pass time, smoke cigarettes. I don't know. I just didn't buy that. That was only one thing.
No cell phones.
I think Michael has codependency issues when his Italian bride gets blown to bits and then he comes back to America to get back with Wednesday Night Girl. By the way, Kay is that woman who probably nags her husband when they're at a party that she wants to be the first to leave.
Definitely.
As if having a heart attack and dropping to the ground isn't bad enough, you have some little shit squirting water on your face as you slowly take your last breaths.
It's kind of tough to watch, isn't it? Because right. it's just, what is he, like a three-year-old? So he thinks he's playing, right? So, yeah, son of a bitch, I'm dying here.
The Michael baptism scene, I'd rather get molested by a priest than sit through an entire mass in Latin. The hits on the other families during that baptism is textbook execution in wrapping up a story. God damn, that was great. And I forgot about how they all just whacked them one shot. Fantastic. Hey, by the way, playing the role of non-stock shrieking Shelley Duvall from The Shining is Talia Shire's Connie Corleone. She just wails on without bringing anything to the table.
I got a part there. I think she's great. I really do. And one thing about the baptism scene, that is one where I would say it's a little heavy-handed with, you know, I renounce Satan and all his works or whatever he says. And one, the cheesiest thing I've ever seen, I think, in maybe any movie, is that when the guy who's playing the cop, when he then like crouches down and the way he aims, it's like, that's the worst.
It's like he has a sniper rifle, but with a 38.
It would have been different if it would have been John Rockford. John Rockford? What was Rockford Files' name? What was
his
first
Sam?
Name?
Jack? I never watched it. Was it Sam?
Yeah.
No, that's James Garner.
James Garner, but what his first name was might have been Jim Rockford.
Jim,
it was
Yeah.
Jim Rockford. Yeah, he went by Jim.
That's Cornelius? It. No, just kidding. I have written way more jokes than notes for this episode. You know why? You know why? Because this film's perfect. Why? That's why.
You don't say much.
Characters, the storytelling.
Every single beat, every scene has got a joke because every needs to be mentioned. Yes.
I didn't even get to the plot doesn't even matter, right? I didn't even get to Michael killing the cop and it's a lot. We're good.
I never thought
the plot does not need that. Great. You just summed it up. The plot doesn't even matter. You're like,
This is one of the three films I never thought I would see attacked on this film on this podcast ever. This Goodfellas Empire Strikes Back, I think, would never ever face the heat. And here we are. There is never a slow moment. There's never a slow moment in this nearly 3-hour film. I did not look at my watch once. The character development where Michael turns from a good, plain, you know, gentle soul, kind guy from a war hero to pure, just almost devil manipulative asswipe is pure screenwriting 101. Kevin Israel will be proud of the character development in this film. Tessio getting turned, all these people getting turned. That's just great arc. Love it. The plot, airtight. The performance is brilliant and without question. 10 out of 10, this film. Still, without question.
Also a 10.
Just like you, Jackie, a 10.
Yeah.
Some parts of Wisconsin.
She knows all of them.
Yeah. Sheboygan, Madison, but never, ever, ever Green Bay. I don't know. Just pull out three cities. That's all I know. You know, this one is going to get the old critics metaphorical hand job, DQ. Let's hear what the critics' five-star reviews are.
Let's do it.
Skepticism of America exceptionalism is far more commonplace than when it was when The Godfather was released. But the fragility of the American dream was revealing itself as the illusion it had always truly been. Word soup. What do they mean on that?
I think part of it is the idea that I'm going to come to this country and then everyone follows the rules and they're all going to be enforced. And that goes back to that first scene where the mortician's like, I went to the cops, they beat up my daughter and they just let him go, suspended sentence. And there is a further critique, actually, when Michael meets up with Kay and she's kind of not berating him, but criticizing him for what they're in. She's like, presidents and senators don't get men killed. He's like, what are you, fucking naive? Of course they fucking do.
This story does
a lot. This whole saga does a lot about talking about what the nature of power is and how it actually works. I think there are
it's
some
entirely about power.
The Godfather works like a masterfully conducted orchestra whose immaculate symphony is a meticulously crafted and extraordinary integral thread in the fabric of cinema history. This guy sounds like he takes about 18 minutes to order a cup of coffee.
Christ. Right. I think he's actually talking about the soundtrack. It's an actual symphony. Good for you, sir.
The Godfather is the most memorable, most influential, most quoted, most beloved, most discussed, most imitated, most revered, and most entertaining American movie ever made. I would say the most quoted film of all time, Caddyshack.
Oh, wow. All right.
There is simply not a character introduced or exchange of words or looks that doesn't inform or add.
Yes, absolutely.
Very true. Very intentional with every single.
I wonder if he reads that out loud to himself while his wife is blowing him. I really hope he does.
I aspire to that.
Can you imagine getting topped off while you're writing one of those pretentious Amazon reviews?
Right. Just like, honey, I'm actually going to dictate this. Blow me and write it down for me. And so.
You forgot a semicolon. Critics, one-star reviews. An overblown, pretentious, slow, ultimately tedious, three-hour quasi-epic. Wrong. I found that
it feels like more effort than I would do. Like, I literally would not bother. Have you ever written a one-star review?
Yes.
What do I care? I didn't like it. Okay. Not for this. No. Okay.
Only for restaurants. Next one. I found that flogging for about 3 hours in that quagmire was spiritually debilitating and a crazy waste of time.
All right.
Someone doesn't like fun.
Someone got sad.
I don't see how any gifted actor could have done less than Brando does here. His resonant power, his sheer innate force, has rarely seemed weaker. Signed, Carrot Top. Well, I'll be damned. Oh. That's amazing.
Fuck off.
An intellectual's daydream.
It was understated. Yeah. Yes. Oh, go ahead.
An intellectual's daydream about revenge without remorse and power without accountability. Are you kidding me? Everyone dies. Everyone fucking dies.
Yes.
The only one that survives is basically dead inside at the end. Yeah. Oh, come on, man.
Three people. Jesus Christ. Oh, mongoloids. Amazon 5-star reviews. I am not going to write a movie review. Numerous reviews by film critics are available in every corner of the internet. I purchased this during Prime Day, and the price was very good. Hey, I guess that means that Bezos made an offer they couldn't refuse. Yeah, right.
Nice. Oh, I see what I see. I get it.
Bada boom. Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. Next one. This one made me. Next to Scarface, greatest movie ever.
Oh, no.
Scarface. Yeah. No, oh, no, yeah. No.
The second half of that sentence is spot on. The first half of that sentence was written, the first half of that sentence was written by someone who makes Down syndrome seem seasonal.
There you go.
I can't imagine.
God, that,
that's a funny idea on its own.
Right?
Have you guys seen Miller's Crossing?
Yeah, yes. I was not crazy about it. Right.
Mm, that's because it's super depressing. Because it's about the actual mob.
God, I love Vito Corleone. Actor played him so well. Out of this world. Love how they couldn't. By the way, love how they could put. They couldn't put down one of the greatest actors of all time and one of the most iconic roles of all time. That's cute.
No.
Amazon. Okay. Amazon. One star reviews. Ready for this?
Oh
yeah.
All right.
Give it to me.
There are no Amazon one-star reviews.
Ooh, Jackie.
That's
incorrect. That's everyone who didn't like it didn't bother. That's what I had. Good for you, Amazon one-star reviewers.
There are none. This is a first. No one-star reviews. So what?
There's always some idiot who's got some problem with something, right?
Ready? I know, right? That's my whole point. So what I did do is I cheat. I go, here's some Amazon 3-star reviews because that's the lowest.
That's the lowest?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing, actually. Wow.
Only a couple. Nicely discounted price, but I got my money's worth. The picture. The picture quality is low definition. I think some of the scenes have been edited out and language has definitely been dubbed over. I think this may be the approved television version from the 70s.
Wow.
The hell would buy that?
Yeah,
I got a 1-star review for that 3-star review. What an idiot.
There is a few bit of ADR, a lot of ADR in this movie that I noticed this time around, which did kind of take me out. But I guess I just didn't capture the audio in the initial record. But yeah,
I did receive it quickly. The wrapping on the DVDs and the cellophane looked really cheap. I didn't open it because it was a gift for someone else. But from what I could tell, the DVD Godfather image seemed home printed. That being said, for the price, I am happy because it was used as a hoax / gift. Signed, Donald Trump Jr. No, that's interesting. All right. Let's get up. Let's I like that. Thank you. Let's wrap it up with who's funnier. ChatGPT or KG? These are jokes that ChatGPT has written about The Godfather. Number one, God. Get ready, Jackie.
Strike.
If you write these down, okay. ChatGPT will be suing you for your next special.
Finally.
Good press. Why did The Godfather start a pasta company? Because he knew how to make an offer they couldn't refuse, a delicious plate of spaghetti.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God. Wow, the third beat falls away. Backwards whistle.
What the fuck?
Why? That's my slide whistle that comes out for this. Why did the Godfather become a weatherman? He had a talent for predicting the stormy relationships in the mafia. I'll retire.
I didn't get it through the mic.
It's not playing. Yeah.
Damn it. All right. Why did the Godfather switch careers to play the baker? He loved the idea of whacking the dough to make the perfect cannoli.
Oh, fuck that.
Wow.
And that's it. And that's it for ChatGPT.
Okay. What about KG?
I think we're safe. We're safe from ChatGPT.
ChatGPT 0. KG 21, yeah. ChatGPT 0. Folks, that is going to wrap up another banger episode of Gutting the Sacred Cow. Jackie Kashian, and thanks so much. DQ, love hanging out with you. We'll see you all next time. Aloha.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.